Lift up the trumpet loud, let it ring. Come on, folks. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Whether it be in French, whether it be in English, it is universal. Every eye shall see him when he comes. This morning, it is time to eat. Lunch comes later. It is time to eat. Lunch comes later. This morning, how many of you were here last night? Huh? How many of you here were? What a powerful, powerful message. And as I was listening to it, I was getting goosebumps and my wife was needling me. And I said, that is my text for the morning. I am going where no man has gone before, and that is I'm going to preach a text that was preached last night. But I don't believe in mistakes. I believe in a divine appointment. I believe that if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could see the same thing and could have a testimony that was unique to their personality, I believe that Glenda Silva and Mike Tucker can preach the same text. The Word of God cannot be out-preached. Huh? It will exhaust you. There are so many gems to be found in the Word of God. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I need you to turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, say, have mercy on me, Lord. The truth is not in the preacher. The truth is in the Word of God. All right? Too many of us have love affairs with personalities. It'll get you in trouble and you'll lose your soul. Right? The love affair must be with God's Word. And so as we prepare, let's have a word of prayer. Father, it is me standing in the need of prayer. I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters who have lifted me up already and prepared me for this moment. But Lord, I need your Spirit to fall afresh on me. And so move through this place and unsettle us if you have to until we say yes to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to need some fellowship with my friends up in AV. Let's move that slide. We have a learning device. Tomorrow I got a surprise for you. I'm going to remove the words with I. So find a friend and memorize them today. I'm going to share it today, but tomorrow I'm taking it out. I want to make sure that you're paying attention. Okay. So when I say incredible, you say what? Incredible? Incredible moments with Jesus. That's where we're going today in Mark chapter 2. We are also going to get instructional. I believe that God is preparing a divine appointment for you and me, even as I speak. And if you pray for God's Spirit, he will definitely put it on your agenda. He will put it on your agenda. I believe that it can only happen if we are inspired by what? Inspired and? I want to thank David for his prayer today. Didn't even recognize that he used a phrase, light, life, and hope. And that was in yesterday's sermon. And brother said, I wasn't even here. I believe the Spirit moves. And then finally, when it's all said and done, that we need to be involved in what? The greatest work on earth is what? Soul winning. That's what we need to be involved in. And so this morning, we want to get into the text. You know, I had, before I came, some of my friends came a little bit early. And I was parked in Oshawa until 2 p.m. Sabbath afternoon. But there were divine appointments that kept me there. On Friday evening, I got two calls. Number one, Pastor, I've got stage 2 cancer and I need you to pray for me. I can do that. Pastor, I know you're busy on Sabbath morning, but can you do something for me? I said, yes. What can I do? Can you meet me at church at 9:30? Now, we were having church in the park. And there is no such thing as a church confined to a building. We decided for the brethren at College Park Church that we would have church in the park at least 2 Sabbaths. We don't have a beautiful camp like this, but we have a campus called Kingsway College, and we moved the church outside. And so everybody was showing up at 10 a.m., and the sister said, Pastor, I need you to show up at 9:30 because I'm having a surgery next week, and will you anoint me? I said, absolutely, yes. She said, I'm so thankful because there are some people in the Adventist church that don't believe in anointing. You see, if you are coming out of another faith, you usually anoint people when they're about to die. But in Adventism, anointing is for the living. Can I get an amen, huh? She said, I'm going into surgery, and can you anoint me? Can you pray over me? Because before I go to the doctor, I want to make sure that Dr. Jesus knows that I'm coming to the hospital. And so the Bible tells us in James, if anyone is sick, call what? Call the elders and anoint. And so we anointed on Sabbath morning. I anointed. I said, there's nothing special. It's symbolic, but we're connecting you to Christ. And there we had a little worship service on the front pew of the church. And then we moved over to the church. Divine appointment number one. But divine appointment number two was something that I did on Friday evening. I went into an hospital. And there a man fighting for his life. And I had the privilege, and I'm going to tell you that story at the conclusion of my message. Fighting for his life on Friday, the family called me in tears, and they said, the doctor has given us weeks. Called me into his bedside and said, I've been fighting Jesus all my life. I had the privilege of, he said, the Lord knows my heart. He said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. But physically, cancer had done a number on his spine, and his spine was breaking down. He says, even though I want to, I can't get into the water. Christ, our righteousness, God knows your heart. And there on his hospital bed, we read through the vows, and I said, have you accepted Jesus Christ on Friday evening as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes. And I said, I want to welcome you into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that story. And I had the privilege of signing his profession of faith certificate that I would take to the church on Sabbath morning. I say, you connected with Jesus, but we need to connect you with the church. And there under the trees of Kingsway College, when I said, I have a profession of statement faith, here is a brother that wants to join the church. And you could just see the arms of the brethren just waving. And I said, he's watching in his hospital. Thank God for Zoom and technology. Amen. He's watching in his hospital room as the membership waved their hands. I said, is there emotion? And I said, just one at a time now. Come on now. One at a time. Is there someone ready to receive? And everybody's waving their hands. And he's seeing this in his hospital room on a Sabbath morning, that he's accepted Christ and he's being welcomed in to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Praise God. Praise God for the miracles that he has worked. But this morning, I do believe in divine appointments. I do believe. And if you pray it, God will arrange it. This morning, there are two key words in this little passage that was skimmed over last night that I want to address. And it's the word again, and authority. Again and authority. Again and authority. As the paralytic stares at a bleak future in his face. For there are no neurosurgeons back there. You see, Ben Carson has left the surgery room and joined politics. There are no specialists. There are no convalescent hospitals, no physical therapists, no medical breakthroughs on the horizon, and no miracle drugs in the cabinet. Sympathy is the only prescription the community can and will dispense. And he's had enough of that. He doesn't want sympathy, brothers and sisters. He wants his life back. The life that he now has is not vertical, but it's horizontal. It's full of bed sores, blank stares, looking at the ceiling. It is his only priest. It neither acknowledges his confession or accepts his penance. His spindly legs and arms form the bars to the cells that imprison him, isolating him from the rest of the world. And there he lays alone on a 3-by-6 floor mat, day after day, week after week, month after monotonous month, imprisoned in his prison cell, a 3x6 mat. And this morning I did the luxury of unhinging the curtain out of my little cabin, because I think a visual is always a good thing. Could you imagine this morning, brothers and sisters, living your life on a 3x6 mat? This is who the paralytic is. Day after day, he lives on that mat, hoping that he would be set free. You know, I've met people in my ministry. I met a brother last week. I went into his plush retirement living center, and he begins to cry. He's 96 years of age, and his furnishings, he's got the TV. He's got a beautiful living room. Breakfast, lunch, and supper provided every day. But he begins to cry, "Lord Jesus, I want him to take me. I've lived too long. I'm living in a prison cell, and it's a fully furnished condo." Many of us live in prison cells. But could you imagine living on a 3x6 mat day after day, month after month, year after year, trapped, no hope? There he lives, never able to rise and stretch, never able to walk down at the beachside at Pugwash and look at a sunrise or a sunset, never able to socialize, never able to step out and get some fresh air into his lungs, never able to walk off his frustrations, never able to have a change of scenery without inconveniencing everybody close by. He has to rely on everybody for everything. From the times his bowels are moved or his bladder needs relief, somebody else has to turn him, bathe him, clothe him. Dependency, humiliation, confinement, boredom, loneliness, frustration, shame, and despair. These are just a few entries that describe this man's life living on a 3x6 mat. But for all the negatives in his life, the paralytic has one positive word that gives his life just a syllable of meaning. He's got friends. Come on, are you with me this morning? For everything going on in his life that's going wrong, he's got one thing that makes sense. He's got friends. This morning, if you are here and you feel that nobody cares, I want to tell you this morning that you got a friend in high places. His name is Jesus. And these friends have heard something incredible, incredible that bring him to his bedside on a 3x6 mat. They come bearing exciting news of a miracle worker. Ever since Jesus exorcised a demon from a man in synagogue, ever since he let loose the royal official's son and brought him back to life, he was the biggest show in town. The Bible says, as you follow along in chapter 2 of Mark, a few days later, when Jesus again, and this is a very important word, again. For notice what the Spirit of Prophecy writes on this very phrase of again entering into Capernaum. As the AV team has fellowship with the preacher and moves that slide, Ellen White says on this very concept, in the excitement which pervaded Capernaum, there was danger, and I've entitled the slide Dangerous Blessings. There was danger that the object of Christ's mission would be lost sight of if Jesus Jesus was not satisfied to attract attention to himself merely as a wonder worker or healer of physical diseases. He was seeking to draw man to himself as the Savior. And this morning, that is backed up with Scripture. When Jesus says, the reason for my ministry, the reason for my mission is for the Son of Man has come to do what? Seek and save that which is lost. And so as he fed them, they came. As he healed them, they came. But they were coming
for temporal needs, and Jesus wanted them to realize that there was something more important that they needed in their life, and that was spiritual healing. And we discussed that and talked about it last night. Elder Tucker did a fantastic job, but they are living on that 3x6 mat. And so, hope, you see, the Holy Spirit, even before we can say we did something, the Holy Spirit is moving on us. Even before we could say, I came to Christ, it was the Spirit that even gave us a desire, an unction, a movement to come back to Jesus. And so here on this 3x6 mat, the incredible news. And that's why one of the things that we have to do as Christians is we've got to share what Jesus is doing in our lives. It's contagious to a world that is falling apart. And as we share what God is doing in our life, we become magnetic to those who are suffering in this world. But if all we can do is bellyache and complain, and our theme song is nobody knows the troubles that I'm going through, instead of saying with Jesus in the vessel, I can smile. Come on now. I can do what? I can smile at the storm. I can smile at the storm. Oh, yes. People had flooded into Capernaum. Jesus has come back. He has visited Pugwash for a second day in a row. Have mercy. And they have flocked in to hear him. And as Elder Tucker said last night, the place was packed. But we've got to be careful that when we show up, we are showing up for the right reason. Jesus does not only want to heal us, but more importantly, church, he wants to save us. Can I get an amen this morning? And so they were showing up. They were a catch-all collection of seekers, spectators, and spies. In fact, Dr. Luke, sharing on this passage, says, you know what? The Pharisees from Jerusalem. Now think about it. They were in Capernaum, part of Galilee, all of Judea. And he says, the Pharisees, even from Jerusalem, showed up. Everybody was there. The place was packed. They came with a hopeful eye to be healed. Others came with a curious eye to be convinced. And still others came with a jaundiced eye because they were skeptical. And they were looking to find fault in the miracle worker. The house where Jesus stops today is packed. One of the latecomers is a paralytic carried by four friends, each shouldering a corner of the mat. But the wall of flesh is impenetrable. They cannot get through. They're blocked. It's like a Good Friday sale in the United States. You know what I'm talking about. I have heard that people have been trampled for a broken down VCR machine. It's amazing when they call it Mad Friday. It is mad if you're in the lineup with everybody else. And so the place is packed and they cannot get through. And the word of God declares that there was so much numbers. I'm looking at text. There were large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. What if, for a chance, dream with me? What if that was to describe your church? Couldn't even get in. Now, some of us, now come on, work with me. Some of us might get downright rude if that was to happen. We'd be like, you're a visitor, get out of the way, because that front row belongs to me. I've been a faithful member. I've even got my name my name is on the pew. Can you imagine? The place is packed, can't even get in the room. And there they have come. It is packed, but one of the latecomers, he's being shouldered by four friends. Not to be denied, the determined man back off and brainstorm another approach. Thank God for friends that will not be denied from meeting Jesus. Amen. I pray that you would have someone like that in your life. They are determined, and where they cannot get in the door, somebody said there's steps leading up to the roof. Let's go there. And last night it was shared in detail the construction of that roof. Now, to rip open that roof was no easy thing, but like a groundhog preparing for the winter season, those brothers start digging. They would not be denied. And so I want you to know that in the text, there are not implements. There are not tools. There are not drills. These men took their hands and they start digging because they had a desire for their friend to meet Jesus. How desperate are you so that your friends, your family, and loved ones will meet the Savior?
Oh, they had obstacles. They had obstacles, but no matter how large the crowd, they were willing to find a way. No matter how steep the stairs, they were willing to climb. No matter how thick the roof, they were willing to dig. No matter how heavy the brother going up, dead weight going up the steps, they were willing to carry him. What are the obstacles that you have in your life that prevent you from meeting Jesus? These men determined that come what may, they were going to connect their friend with a Savior. And the Bible says, as we look in this text, that when Jesus saw them, and before I get there, I want you to think, picture in your mind's eye with me as they finally make the breakthrough, as these hands are pulling away the mud and the branches, and finally the light from heaven shines through that hole in that roof. And Jesus, the Savior, looks up, and all he can see is fingers just moving and ripping. Are you hungry? Are you that hungry, that desperate to share Jesus, that you're willing to dig so that your brothers and sisters will find Christ? And when the Savior looks up, he sees four pair of eyes looking at him. And the text declares when he saw, look at the pronoun, their faith. Their faith. Their faith. You see, Ellen White shares, Elder Tucker revealed it, but I'm quoting it this morning. Ellen White reveals that the paralytic had lost all hope of recovery. His disease was a result of a life of sin, and his suffering were embittered by remorse. There are some people in my ministry that I meet. They say, Pastor, they smoke a pack a day for all their life. Say, I got cancer. Pray for me. And I still need to pray. I still need to pray. His life, his lifestyle, his status in life, being on a 3x6 mat, he had placed himself there by his own actions. But yet, in spite of what we do in this life, God has an unending and merciful and compassionate love for us. And even though we place ourselves there, he is a relentless lover. He will not give up on us. He had sunk into despair. He had sunk into helplessness and hopelessness living on that mat. But thank God for friends. His friends wanted him to meet with Jesus. And so as Jesus looks up, like little children with their nose pressed against a bakery, looking for fresh bread. As they looked up and the Jesus met them, he's going to be healed because of their faith. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be when someone comes to Christ as a result of our witness. Heaven celebrates. But in the church that day, there was an emergency board meeting. I heard the young preacher this morning. somebody, the young man was preaching, and he mentioned, I chuckled. He said, boy, exciting until you get to board meeting. Have mercy on board members out there. Before you go to board meeting, meet with Jesus. Board meetings will go a lot smoother and sweeter if you meet with Jesus, huh? But the problem is we bring our paralysis with us to church. And we may think that the paralytic is an isolated case, but we all have paralysis. And we all looking for instant gratification and healing. Listen, there is no weaker man on the earth than a brother who gets a call. Come on, ladies, can you work with me this morning, huh? Thank the Lord that he gave the raising and bearing of children to women and not to men. The text goes on that there should have been a celebration in Capernaum that day.
And they begin to logistically, who can defend, forgive sins but God alone? Isn't that correct, brothers and sisters? Huh? You know, I celebrate that the fact that tomorrow on the plains of Abraham, something fantastic will happen in this country, long overdue. But the following day, a mass is going to be held. Let me tell you something loud and clear, and I'm not apologetic about it. Don't you dare tell your junk to anybody but Jesus. Because not a person on earth can forgive you. There's only one person. He resides in heaven. He's our high priest. His name is Jesus. And when you get into your closet and declare your faults, declare it to him, because there's not a person on earth that can forgive you. So, and they begin to reason, who can forgive sins but God alone? They got it right. They were in the classroom. They heard the lesson, but they missed the point. They got it right. You see, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. That is God. And Jeremiah chapter 31 and 34, for I am him who will forgive your wickedness and will remember your sins no more. And my daddy was a fisherman. He took me out at a very young age. I guess he wanted to see if I would follow in his footsteps. And after a few waves and my Cheerios floating in the Atlantic, he says, you need to follow a new course. He was a fisher. I am a fisher of men. But there are some parts out from Bermuda when you can't see the little island no more, where they say you can't find the bottom of the sea. I'm so thankful that when God forgives us, he forgives us completely, and he's not a deep sea fisherman or diver. Amen. There are some places on this earth when your sins are buried, you'll never find them. And I'm so glad that he does not go out on his trawler looking for my sins or your sins. They are forgiven. And like the Green Beret and like the soldiers last night, that you've got to believe it. It is just so good to be true. Salvation is sweet. But yet there is something within us that will not accept it. And we cry out, but I got to suffer. And I can remember spending time in Montreal as a little boy up at Mont Royal, noticing the little ladies climbing the steps up at the cathedral on their knees, having a prayer every step up, pouring out their sins. God, please, forgive me. Forgive me. Thank God for the word of God that if we confess our sins, come on, church, that he's faithful and just, that we don't need to climb steps. We don't need to live on 3x6 mats, that we can be set free today in Christ. And so this morning, I want to get to this portion of the scripture that gives me goosebumps. They begin to go back and forth. Who can? Because they're trying to trap Jesus. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus immediately knew in his spirit this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your bed and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority. I said two words this morning. I said again an authority. Authority. Do you know that if you were to take your Bible over a few pages and you'd get to the end of Matthew chapter 28, there is this beautiful passage in Matthew chapter 28 where Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going home. And he says, listen to this. Then Jesus in verse 18 of Matthew 28 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been what? Given to me. How much authority, church? All authority. He's ending his ministry on earth. All authority. He's beginning his ministry in Mark saying all authority. And let me tell you, it's not just all authority on earth, but it's all authority in heaven as well. And so when I get to this phrase, the Son of Man, and we know that the Son of Man is a phrase that comes from the heart of messianic prophecies. It comes from Daniel chapter 7. And for those of you that love prophecy, I am tired of people hijacking Jesus as the central theme of prophecy. If you want to get yourself in trouble, watch YouTube. But if you want to stay straight with God, read the Word of God. He said, again, I'm coming in. And there are people that are confusing. They're coming back and they're looking for the miracles. They're looking for the miracles. But notice what he says in Daniel chapter 7. And you've heard the text before. And Daniel says, in my vision, verse 13, I looked, and before me was one like what? The Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, and he was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power over all nations and peoples, and every language worshipped him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I want to tell you this morning in Pugwash at the 11 o'clock manna hour that all authority, he belongs to Jesus. He began his ministry with all authority. He ended his earthly ministry with all authority. And he resides in heaven right now as a high priest with what? All authority. And so when the devil drags up your past, and he will do it, you tell him, I know Jesus, and Jesus has what? All authority. Get behind me, Satan. You can bring it up, you can drag it up, but my father buried it a long time ago. And we live by a fact and not by a feeling. And one of the biggest things that challenges the people of God is that we do not live by facts, but we live by feelings. The only thing the devil can do is drag up your dead bones, but he cannot save you. And you need to say this morning, by God's grace, I am saved by the power and the blood of Jesus. Amen, church? He's got all authority. All authority. I told you this morning that these guys, these brothers, these friends were determined to have their friend meet Jesus. How determined at camp meeting are you to leave this place and pray for divine appointments in your life? There used to be a time when we got together at camp meeting to plan, to strategize, to be inspired, but to go back to work. You know, I have a sign, a moniker in my church. You come to worship, but when you leave, you go to serve. And there are so many people that come to worship, but they forgot that worship is the beginning point. Service is the conclusion. We come to be inspired. We come to be motivated. We come to learn, to be instructed. But once we leave, we go to what? Serve. We're praying for a divine appointment. Let me tell you about my friend. I went into his house and I anointed him. And after I anointed him, every bad thing conceivable happened in his life. And as a pastor, I said, it's not supposed to work like this. You don't anoint someone for their life to fall apart. You anoint them for healing to take place in their life. And test after test after test after test, just breaking down. It weighed heavy on my heart. You need to realize that this thing is not about us. It's about God. I anointed him. And he called me to his home the day before he went into the hospital. And he touched me. You know, the word of God declares, though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. When I visited him after his anointing, it was a few weeks, and there was a pole set up in his house because he couldn't even get up anymore. He had to pull himself up. He had lost a lot of weight. His face was drawn, and you could see that his body was being ravished. And I said, how are you feeling today? Big smile came on his body that was being eaten from the inside. He says, the joy of the Lord as he smiled. God wants to heal us, but more importantly than wanting to heal us, God wants to save us. As he gleaned from ear to ear that I am finding strength in the Lord every day, morning by morning. New mercies I find, great is his faithfulness. Every morning I wake up and I'm more in love with Jesus. And there in his home, he said, Pastor, I've decided to give my life. I need you to share the vows. And in addition to sharing the vows, I want you to do something else. I want to renew my vows with my wife. For years, I've made fun of her. I've ridiculed her. We would drive from the country into work, and she would read her devotionals in the car. I'd ask a few questions here or there, but I wasn't paying attention, but she was faithful. Are you listening to me this morning, church? She was faithful. She kept doing it. She kept reading, and the Spirit placed those words. Couldn't fight it. You cannot fight God. Placed those words within that man. And he says, Pastor, not only have I given my life to the Lord, but he says, I want to renew my vows with this woman who has connected me with Christ. She has been a friend. You know, I heard this from the mouth of my mother. I grew up in a home where my father was a fisherman. I can still remember as a child the lobsters crackling in the pot on Friday evening, as my mom would make two suppers, one for her family. You know, we joined the Adventist church. I was a young man, and believe me, we had some strange food that entered our home from the ABC. To this day, I have an aversion, a dislike. I don't know if anybody has ever tasted Nutina, but it was the first meal I had in an Adventist. I'd never tasted anything so horrible in my life. She said, we found Jesus. We're going to eat right. We're eating different. But I said, what about what that? No. He doesn't know the Lord. We're eating like this. Thank God for the veggie leeks and prime steaks and fried chicken. Thank God there was better stuff coming. But you know, we lived that life where we would have worship in one part of the house and my dad would be watching TV programs and sports in another part of the house. I lived in a home that was divided. But the witness of my mother, the Holy Spirit, my father was facing death. He brought my mother close to him. He said, you have been a faithful and God-fearing woman. I want to thank you that you did not give up on me. And there in that hospital room, my father, before he died, gave his life to Christ. There are people here today that are looking for healing. We live in a broken world. Sin is all around us. You've come to Capernaum again. You've come to Pugwash one more time. And you think the main priority in your life is to be healed. But God says, I want to save you. I can heal you so you live another day, but my ultimate goal, come on, are you working with me, church? My ultimate goal is to save you for eternity. Do you trust him enough when you cannot trace him? Can you say, I'd rather have Jesus and nothing else? And if he is gracious and merciful and extend your days like Hezekiah, you'll say, thank you, Jesus, because I know you have all authority. One day, and I'm speaking to someone today, you know who you are. God in his wisdom, healing may not come on earth. It may not come on earth as much as we want it. There's coming a day that this Jesus who has all authority, when he opens his mouth, graves are going to open. No one has that type of authority. The trump of God comes and Jesus says, wake up. And calls us by name. Will you trust him even today, church? You pray for that healing. Lord, I pray this morning for that healing. We move that slide to. I got to share these two because we've got 10 minutes left. The meal is coming, but we're eating now. Come on now. God invites us to pray. God invites us to pray. This is from a book that I have found so special. It is a book on prayer in the Christian Home Library from Ellen White.
She says the divine healer is present in the sick room, and he hears every word of the prayers offered to him in the simplicity of true faith. You don't have to have you don't have to put it together. There are some people that I've met in my ministry, they're afraid to pray. They say, Pastor, I can't pray like the preachers. You don't have to. Thank God that the Holy Spirit interprets every one of our prayers, that once it gets to glory, huh? It's eloquent in the ears of Jesus, huh? Come on now. It says, prayers offered what? In true faith. His disciples today, come on, at Pugwash, are to pray for the sick, as verily as did the disciples of old, and there will be recoveries. For the prayer of faith shall, what does it say, heal, or does it say save? It says save. Save the sick. God is more interested in your eternity than in your next day. Notice what the next slide says. Come on, move that slide. No human power can save the sick. And so the sister said, Pastor, she came in on a Sabbath morning for healing. She said, anoint me. She says, I got great doctors. I got great nurses. They're really good at what they do. But I want to make sure that Dr. Jesus knows what I'm going through before I get there. And notice, no human power can save the sick. But through the prayer of faith, the mighty healer has fulfilled his promise to those who have called upon his name. What? Save the sick. You know, there are those this morning that are physically sick. But I know within the sounding of my voice, there is somebody here today who's spiritually sick. You've come here and Pugwash has become your lifeline. You have come back to Capernaum. Jesus is again in this place. And the good news is he's got all authority. And so this morning, if you just reach out in faith, he will be there to pick you up. You know, we've talked about this thing, divine appointments. I am sincere that if you pray it, God will make it happen. Lord, today I pray that you will arrange a divine appointment in my life. There is somebody that needs to hear a word of truth. Now be careful. Don't pray it if you don't want it to happen. Because God is going to put somebody in your life. I mean, somebody's going in your life and they're going to be asking. And one of the greatest things that you can be asked, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Many years ago, I was working in a religious institution. Someone called in. Secretary answered the phone, and individual was desperate. He said, will you pray for me? I can't do it. I'll try to find a pastor. Each and every one of us has a responsibility. If someone asks you to pray for them, pray for them. And pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And so this morning, I'm going to pray in your hearing. And as I pray, I'm going to invite you to stand as we close. And then we're going to sing our theme song as a closing prayer. Stand with me, if possible, as we close with prayer today. Father in heaven, there is a paralysis that lies very deep in the soul of all of us. Though we can walk, though we can talk, though we move about, there is sin that holds us down and separates us from you. Lord, you know what it is. We pray today by the power of the living God that as we step out in faith, as we claim your promises, as we say simply, God, help us, that you will have mercy and compassion on us. Lord, we've come to revive. We've come to reestablish our relationship with you. But Lord, we've come so that we can be a servant of God and what? A friend to man. And so, Lord, help us in our interactions with others. For those who are praying for divine appointments, Lord, I pray that you will establish them. You will equip them. You will instruct them because the appointment is coming. And I pray that you would give them a word in season, that they would be a refreshment in the life of someone else. And so, Lord, we collect our voices together now. And together we will conclude this prayer by simply singing our prayer, our song of appeal. As the slide goes up, work with me. Our eyes are open, but we're in prayer mode. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart And love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee.
Amen, amen. We have eaten. Go get some refreshments. God bless you.